morning. We're coming to this time from the morning time. We managed to make it. We're still in the back kitchen.
So this is day three of the Qatar
Economic Forum, not the summit. Definitely,
and it's the 16th
like
of May, Thursday morning here in Doha. I'm Richard Fitzgerald.
And I'm Lubna Hamdan.
And today, what are we going to talk about?
Today we're going to talk about the PIF.
Yeah.
Mohamed Al-Abbad and Chris Fade. And then a little bit about the event as well. Shall we start a little bit about the event before we get into the news? I just noticed something. We were talking about how media is falling behind, right? And the one exciting thing, the only exciting thing I saw Bloomberg do is, I don't know if you saw their booth outside, you can go and take a picture of yourself and then you get your AI avatar in a Bloomberg, see what you look like in a Bloomberg world.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And what is a Bloomberg world? You're holding up something here, Bloomberg Intelligence. So what a Bloomberg world at the moment, this is all about energy scenarios, the risk of surging oil prices, $1 trillion economy hit if direct war breaks out. Is that a
full
Bloomberg
of stats,
world?
Full of stats. yeah, exactly. Like, is it innovative? Is it this? What is it? Is it boring? Is it exciting? I feel like Bloomberg I don't know. How do you feel about Bloomberg generally? Like the brand. Do you think that they're moving fast enough as a media brand?
Our host here today, yeah.
Our host here today, we don't want to get kicked out. No. Okay. They're doing yeah, amazing.
No, I'm kind of impressed with Bloomberg because I love Mike Bloomberg's story. He started the business after a career and it wasn't really supposed to work. And I think he put $10 million in and the terminal took off. And then media was sort of given for free to push the terminal.
Yeah.
Terminal is a few thousand dollars a year, and even in 2024, people still subscribe to it. Mm. But since then, there's a well-known individual called Julian Smith. Mm-hmm. He's since set up Semaphore, which is an up-and-coming. And Semaphore may or may not be launching Semaphore Middle East in before the end of the year. May or may not. Unconfirmed reports.
May or may not.
But they do have a newsletter type events business with website Semaphore, and they've got a different color to a newsletter, so it reminds me a little bit of FTE. And they hire top journalists, they do really good news reporting, but they're sort of, you know, the type of modern media. But when Julian Smith was at Bloomberg,
they are hiring
Lubna, yeah. if there's
I'm
any
just,
talent at all in the business journalism world, I doubt it very much. Yeah. Professional people who can...
whoever is not happy in their, you know, in their careers,
world,
it's
exactly.
Obviously not anyone in this vicinity.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be unhappy. But so Julian Smith, when he was at Bloomberg, to answer the question, he was quite pioneering. They launched Quick Ones, which they rebranded. TikTok actually was the first name for their short text overlay videos.
Really?
Yeah, TikTok was brand by Bloomberg, which was at the time AJ Plus, and now this, we're doing these short videos. Yeah,
wow.
And they rebranded it to Quick Something, and then you had Quibi. Mm-hmm. And now they have two apps on streaming, one for Quick Bites, Quick News, and the other one, which is Bloomberg TV. So
yeah.
I think they were quite innovative with what they did on digital. Then their subscription business really picked up.
Their app, by the way, is amazing. It's a really, really good app.
Really good app.
Say.
And all our passes here today have 3 months free Bloomberg subscription.
And it's
good stories. Yeah, and they are, they do have good journalists around the world. They cover the Middle East quite well, but only one newsletter a week, which is the gap that people like Smashy Business and Semaphore see.
Absolutely, but how did you know that there's a three month subscription?
I think they gave it to special people. It's this little card at the back.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't have one.
No problem. Oh, you're
cool.
You've been so humble.
I'll give you my login. Okay.
Lately,
yeah,
Richard.
Maybe you can look at my phone.
Oh.
Cool, yeah, great, yeah.
Okay, moving on to the PIF. Wealth funds are all the talk at this event, and the PIF has just reduced its holdings in U.S. equities. That's according to a regulatory filing. Its direct ownership of U.S. listed equities dropped to around $18 billion by the end of Q1 this year, down from $35 billion in December.
Yeah.
It's still a big number, but the fact that they are reducing and the fact that yesterday QIA said that they have more of a negotiating power.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's fascinating.
Fresh,
there were sovereign wealth funds and It's like a business club now. When a business has profits, they're supposed to invest them wisely rather than sitting on the cash.
Yeah.
And countries should do the same. And so sovereign wealth funds did play that role. Like some of the more, I don't want to say boring, but some of the more safer sovereign wealth funds are from Scandinavian countries.
Right.
And the PIF was actually set up in 1971, but no one really heard of it because it was about, you know, Saudi is very sort of safe, long-term thinking.
You're right. Fund. You're right. Nobody heard about it until MBS came along, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it was all the talk. And you were mentioning something over dinner last night. We had a team dinner. And that's where all the interesting conversations happen.
I think, so rather than setting up a new fund, he just restructured the strategy of the PIF. So a lot of the funds that were coming, you know, we talked about $31 billion of dividends from Aramco. And we talked about other things that the state fund receives, whether it's taxes, whether it's from oil or for other things. So you're basically, you're spending your government budget, but you're also investing in other assets. And the PIF is a huge sovereign wealth fund. And when MBS came into being, as Deputy Crown Prince and then as Crown Prince around 2017, he restructured the PIF.
And
One of the things that they did was they invested in US stocks. And I remember at the time of the pandemic, they started snapping up really cheap stocks. One of the famous cruises, I'll get the name of it, when people were like, will anyone ever go on a cruise again? And then I remember they even bought, Ticketmaster, and they invested in Lucid. So some of the things that were working there's a whole section. If you look at the website, some of the things that I invested in were for their own things. But then they started investing. They did a Savvy Games Group. They bought two gaming companies. They created lots of projects on the ground. Daria Company, Saudi Coffee Company, the new Muraba, Neom, all the things that we've talked about on the show before, and the Giga projects. So it seems like that numbers that you mentioned at the start, down to 18 billion, stocks are up. They're not up to all-time highs, but maybe they feel that now is the time to take some money off the table from the US. And we've seen them trying to raise more funds and Chinese trips for NEOM. So they are. You know, as we've always believed, that the Saudi project is a domestic story, not a foreign policy story.
Yeah,
and it's really about bringing this economy to life and bringing the people and the country to life and building an SME market and all these sort of things and listing these startups on the Tadawul and everything like that. So I'm delighted to hear this. I think it's showing that the investment opportunities are here and that these funds will go towards these local projects.
Absolutely, and it's just really exciting to see that from the PIF, from QIA. They want more skin in the game when it comes to being partners, exciting projects, not just the long-term boring stuff that
Exactly. Like there are safer bets, which is fine. But us as people who like to see things happening, we're still relatively young. We love excitement and stuff like that. But I think you can have a
at least
different.
I am.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, love. Great.
Sorry.
Wow.
getting you back for that.
I deserve
three-month,
it. Yeah, and Uber. It's not unlike PIF to do one thing and to pivot. When SoftBank Miyoshi-san, the initial. Before it was decided to put all the funds into PIF, they actually decided that the Vision Fund under Miyashi-san's SoftBank was the fund to go after.
Right.
And then that was divested. And that was a lot of the time. They came very late into Uber. They still own a lot of Uber. And the current leader, CEO of Uber, has actually made Uber almost profitable now. So that's actually turning out to be a good investment. And their stock has gone back up. But you also see Indian investments with Jio Platforms and Reliance as well. And they still have, obviously, Lucid, SoftBank, Magic Leap. They have safer investments with Blackstone, Arab Bank in Switzerland, French private equity. So it's very diversified.
I see that you skipped over the Russian one, but...
The Russian one? Oh, Russian direct investment wasn't intentional. Accor Invest Group, which you mentioned yesterday.
Yes.
Investment fund in Brazil as well.
Yes. And India was mentioned on stage yesterday, and the CEO of Accor did say that, even in terms of tourism, but also in terms of investment, we're seeing a lot happening with India right now. But what about Mubadala? We don't talk about Mubadala often. We talk about Saudi a lot, but Mubadala is, Abu Dhabi's fund. And I don't know, any
insights. Like the chairman of Mubadala also is the chairman, the right title, but Khaldun Mubarak. So he's also with Manchester City, and they are prominent. He's very prominent. He's very well thought of.
More low key though, kind of more subtle. Perhaps with the investments, whereas MBS did want to kind of
make statements with PR. I mean, you can look at these things in different ways. I think analysts will look at how these strategies change and how the rise and fall of investments.
Yeah.
We saw IHC under Sheikh Tanhoon do more and more investments now, more so in the last few years. And the rise of their value in the stock market more than Mubadala. So there's lots of different things going on there as well. Lots of different entities and vehicles. I think the overarching theme, and as we're in Qatar, is that sovereign wealth funds have the higher negotiation power and are working on their own strategies and maybe not as much leaning on Western investments.
Yeah, which is great to see. Speaking of regional wealth, Mohammed Labbar is looking to purchase Egypt's Al Alamin Towers for $2 billion. We already know he likes Egypt. We already know he invests in Egypt. The GCC has a lot of investments in Egypt. There's Ras Al Hikma, which we did mention before, was as a result of the UAE loaning Egypt money, and Egypt not being able to, there are speculations around that Egypt was not able to pay that back, and that's why they're working on Ras Al Hikma right now. But going back to Labbar, he wants to take over the towers overlooking the north coast. Egypt, by the way, has amazing land. It's absolutely beautiful. I don't know how many times you've been to Egypt, but it's absolutely beautiful, so ripe for investment. Mm-hmm. According to East Economy, Labbar is among several Gulf investors interested in acquiring the towers currently owned by the Egyptian government through City Edge, the real estate arm of the Ministry of Housing. Whether it's the towers, whether it's Ras Al Hikma, I feel like a lot of that is happening in Egypt. People are not happy about it. Different parts of the country are kind of being I wouldn't say sold off, but these are investments at the end of the day. And if you go to Egypt, some of the most developed, luxurious properties and developments are owned by the GCC, developed by Ahmad. So I don't know how do we feel about this?
Yeah, they aren't happy. There's particular dispute over islands and the Red Sea that Saudi looked to invest in. But I think I wouldn't go as far as saying it's as crude as selling off the crown jewels. I think FDR and investment and people having development in a country, I think a lot of the, obviously there's debt that the government need to pay off. So at least there's some deals being made. I think the Alamin thing is interesting because it's on the way towards Ras Al Khaimah on Sahel in the north coast. So that's interesting. But I think a lot of so Egypt is clearly developing the north coast. You've got Guna, you've got Suma Bay, where I'm going to an event there in a couple of weeks where Love and Cairo are a media partner for a race down Suma Bay. And in the summertime, people sort of leave Cairo, they go to the north coast or the Red Sea areas. There's lots of things happening down there as well.
The Guna Festival as well.
Yeah, later in the year, exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot of development thing. I think what's really interesting is the term and the name, the Red Sea, is sort of, the Saudi really want to own that. So the Red Sea Development Company was rebranded as Red Sea Global.
Yeah.
And their St. Regis development is where all the celebs are going at the moment. And there was actually Lubna, a headline in The Guardian yesterday, the Premier League and English football season is ending. So going back to PIF, there wasn't that many transfers made. There's about 30 big names made last year.
Okay.
And in the Christmas window, in the winter window, there weren't that many. So people are wondering, was it one season wonder of Saudis buying big footballers? Obviously Ronaldo's the hit, but some people left. Some people, Jordan Henderson didn't last very long. Al Ettifaq, he actually went to Ajax Amsterdam, so he said he couldn't settle in Saudi. So there's big debate over now how big they'll go. Mo Salah's manager Jurgen Klopp is off, so he still has a year or two to go on his contract, but yesterday the headline was that Mohamed Salah and Alisson, the goalkeeper for Liverpool, are two top Saudi targets, and they're going to use their new Red Sea developments as ways to attract the footballers. So maybe that would lean towards the sort of Jeddah-type football clubs rather than, so you're talking Al-Ittihad and Al-Hilal, for a destination potentially for Mohamed Salah. So another micro theme here is this sort of trade-off between Saudi and Egypt, like, as well as getting and UAE as well, these developments. But so the
we're
Red
talking
Sea,
about it, and everyone's talking about it, so surely it's working, you know?
And I think the Red Sea name, you know, Saudi have come up with new names for cities, but they decided in the Red Sea not to call it anything else. And, you know, when we were talking with our Egypt office, should we launch Love in Red Sea, they thought we were talking about Hurghada, Summer Bay, Guna, Salhashish, but actually we were talking about what MBS is doing on his side of the turf and his side of the ocean. So the Red Sea name is, you know, the Red Sea Film Fest is in Saudi, Guna Film Fest is in not Saudi, they're both on the Red Sea. So it's a lot of things to kind of play out there with tourism and investments as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to give a political comment, but I'm going to keep that to myself.
Yeah, no politics, that's great. Thanks, bye.
Let's talk about Chris Fade. He's on Virgin Radio. I never would have thought that he would start a business and that it would actually do really well, but Fade fits.
Because he's such a good DJ. Yeah, it's hard to have time for everything else. I know what you mean, Lubna.
No, I mean, it's not that. I don't know. I guess I never saw him as a business person, but it does make total sense because he's very good at marketing himself. And I you know, Chris Fade is, I would say, a very divisive figure, right? A lot of people can't stand him. A lot of people don't. It's either you really like him or you don't like him. There's no in between with him. But that's what makes him such a good, like, walking ad, basically.
Yeah, I'd say he's very popular. He's done amazing over the last 15 years, and you know, testament to how his radio show is popular. And, you know, there aren't any rivals. We're in Doha, and there is no local radio station. And Saudi have just tried to do something with a copy paste of what Chris Fade did 15 years ago, and it's not working.
Saudi, are they? I haven't even heard of them.
Exactly. MBC hired an Australian host and an Indian co-host a few weeks ago, launched a radio station.
Really?
Yeah, to copy Virgin Radio, and it's no one's talking about it.
Okay.
And it's what you would have done 15 years. So you know, radio, sometimes people say, is it a good format? Is it changing? But talent is talent, you know.
That's true.
Like what you're doing with Smashy Business, Lubna. Talent is talent.
Oh, thank you.
And, you know, I've grown up in Ireland, and Ireland's pride themselves on their radio hosts and, you know, the ones that have done really well in the UK over the years. So it is. I do believe in having good talent, and Chris, amazing radio, but to your point, it's very different to have a snacks business. And what's happened is that Fade Fair, over the last 5 years, has disrupted the snacks industry in the UAE and elsewhere. They've had different suppliers, they've had different healthy snacks, we have different things. But if you go to any Starbucks in Saudi Arabia, you will see Fade Fit, and across the region, and in Qatar, on the airport flying out, you will see Fade Fit. This week they announced that they'd partnered with Subway. And Subway have been around in the UAE for many years. They have 103 stores, over 100 stores, 50% of which are in Dubai. So they actually have also a special offer, a special pack, what would you call it, like a box, a breakfast box with the Fade Fit snacks. But they've branched out. They have puffs. They have, you know, he'll do a better justice at saying all the products that they have.
We should get him on the show to talk about it. I remember interviewing him years ago when he had just launched it, and it was only the small protein snacks, and now, as you said, they have puffs, and they have what else? They have, I think, like beverages as well. And yeah, I mean, no, I feel like the sky is the limit for Fade Fit, and it's nice seeing these homegrown brands. It really is, because one day, you know, we do. One day it would be nice to have, you know, our own, instead of relying on Starbucks or having, you know, going to buy Starbucks, having our own kind of coffee brand, and you know what I mean?
Like, I agree. It is a homegrown brand, but it's also the way that they were homegrown is different now. And influencer-led brands, like Gary Vaynerchuk was on, he was on the NASDAQ yesterday announcing something. He didn't list the company, but he did an interview rounds, as he always does. And he said that, you know, the advertising model is broken. Only 3 or 4 months in a boardroom deciding on it, launching a 30-second TVC that no one cares about, TV ad.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing the influencers, the young people, are the new marketers, and influencer-led brands are the new consumer brands. And you know, it's way back to Paris Hilton, but like the Jenners, the Kardashians, they've all got consumer-facing brands. So many have. We talked about Bella Hadid's recently about her new fragrance brand. So there's lots of brands launching. And yes, on one level, you're right. You wouldn't have expected that Chris Fade would create an up-and-coming Mars in the region or a snacks brand.
Yeah.
And people again will say, oh, is it healthy? Is it not? It is what it is.
It sells.
Let's
just put it
it's
that
a business.
Way.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, you know, same way like vegans love to talk about avocado, but it's not really good for the environment. So, you know, there's always something's got to give. Should we talk a little bit about what's up and coming in the Qatar Economic Forum today, as it is the last day?
Yeah, let's do it. It's Innovation Day,
we'll go
I believe.
Through a roundup. Yeah. So there's going to be an AI panel on regulation and innovation that's actually coming up in just 2 minutes. So I hope we can catch a little bit of that. It's going to be with the Minister of Communication and Information Technology of the State of Qatar, His Eminence Mohammed bin Ali bin Mohammed. And then we have a practical AI with Will Ahmed, the founder and CEO of WUP. We spoke about that yesterday. B Capital, the co-founder Raj, as well. Then venturing into disruption, we have Alpha Wave, Golden Gate Ventures, and Noor Suede from Global Ventures. I'm looking forward to that. Is there any particular panel that you're looking forward to? I know which one you are looking forward to.
Yeah,
but
look, I think, anything AI is interesting to me and data and stuff like that. But if you look at later in the afternoon, and we discussed this yesterday as well, you've got a Metaverse panel. And
the Metaverse with the Russian guy is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, the future of the internet. Like, Russian is basically, how would you say, the Imar of Saudi Arabia, or one of the huge developers.
The new downtown, I guess they want to turn that into the new downtown mega.
And they're actually the sponsor of the Russian Saudi Pro League, ROSHN, not RUSSIAN.
Okay, I have no idea what you just said, but I'm
Russian. Not Russian. Yeah, so sometimes when I pronounce Russian Pro League,
okay,
they think I'm saying
it.
the Russian Pro League, the RS. Because Russian, R-O-S-H-N, isn't a household name
yet. Yeah. No, it's okay. Sometimes I get Arabic words wrong as well, so don't worry about it. Cool, and then that's it. It's ending today. Last panel is 3:30. I'm kind of sad that it's ending today. It's you get on this rush, like on this adrenaline rush of these events, and then you kind of don't want them to end. I'll say one last thing about this room, though. I'm going to miss the sea view, even though it's at the back of a restaurant.
What's going on to you? Like, it was also, I'm in a restaurant that smells, there's an oven in front of me, and now it's all positive and nostalgia because it's the last day.
Yeah, it is.
Do you want to work from here for the rest of the month?
Actually, yes.
Do you want this to be your new office?
I wouldn't say no.
Just like the investment strategies for PIF, Lubna Hamdan is also adaptable and open to change.
Exactly. Just not too much change, yeah? Depends what change we're talking about.
Steady. All right.
Okay, guys.
Thanks, guys.
See you tomorrow.